Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 97. Today we'll be looking at Psalm 97. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 634. And this is Psalm 97. Hear now the word of God. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord, for the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. All worshippers of images are put to shame who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. May the Lord bless the reading and now the preaching of his word. In this psalm, towards the end of Psalm 96, the psalmist speaks about the coming judgment of the Lord. And Psalm 97, following after 96, actually gives us a picture of that judgment that is to come, that judge of all the earth, judging the world in righteousness. And as we consider the Lord judging, he's displayed his holiness. We'll see him in all of his splendor and all of his glory. And as we consider this psalm tonight, the theme we'll be looking at is a call for us to rejoice and give thanks for the remembrance of the Lord's holiness. To rejoice and give thanks for the remembrance of the Lord's holiness. This theme really comes from verses 1 and 12 together, and then the rest of the verses in between kind of show us how, in a couple different ways, that the Lord's holiness, God's holiness, will be revealed and displayed. The psalmist calls us, calls out and cries out that the Lord reigns. In Psalm 96, the Lord also was declared to reign, and like in 96, it is a cause for rejoicing. All the coastlands are said to be glad, the earth rejoicing. Another way we could translate coastlands is islands. And it just means all the earth, the various lands throughout the world, are going to give praise and rejoice and be glad because the Lord sits upon his throne and reigns. And at the end of the psalm, in a similar fashion, we're called to rejoice. We're called to give thanks. And we're called to rejoice in the Lord and to give thanks to his holy name. Or another way we could translate that would be the remembrance of his holiness. That's literally what's in the Hebrew. The remembrance of his holiness. If you consider how life goes on in its day-to-day world today, is God thought of very much, especially in our society? Does he enter our own minds very much? Is he spurned? Is he ridiculed? Is he mocked daily, not only in our country, but throughout the world? He is a holy God, a righteous and glorious God. And in the last great day, his holiness, his glory, his magnificence, everything about him is going to be remembered. It's going to be clearly seen. Nobody will be able to forget it. Nobody will be able to put it out of mind. It will be clear and visible for everyone to see. It will be manifested clearly. This psalm, in essence, is speaking of God's own vindication. In that last great day when, you know, oftentimes we think about how when we stand before the throne of God, you know, we are told in the scriptures that we will be acknowledged, we will be acquitted before the judge of all the earth. But do we stop to consider that that great day, one of the things that makes it so great is not our vindication, not our pardoning, which is wonderful and great. It is the fact that God himself will be vindicated. Throughout history, he has been rejected. He has been spurned. He has been rebelled against. And in that last great day, all of humanity will have to acknowledge the existence of God and his holiness. It will be remembered then for all of eternity. And this is why we are called to give thanks. The righteous in Christ are called to give thanks, to rejoice in the Lord, because his holiness will be remembered. So let us rejoice and give thanks in the coming vindication of God as we look forward to that day. Now the rest of this psalm, verses 2 through 11, are really broken up into two parts, and they give us two ways that God's holiness will be displayed on the day to come, on the last great day. The first one is the call for us to rejoice and give thanks for the Lord's holiness in judgment, in verses 2 through 7. Here we read, "Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth." These words are speaking of the judgments in the past, picturing for us the judgment to come. The events of the past that are being referenced here, we can think of Sinai, the Lord descending on the mountain in clouds and thick darkness, and the thunder of the Lord making the mountain tremble. The people were terrified of the Lord and begged that he would no longer speak to them. We also see the judgment of God in these words and in the simple phrase that fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. The language of fire going out from the Lord, we see it in a positive sense in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, when the first offering is made and fire goes out from the Lord and burns up the offering in the tabernacle. And then a few verses after that, we read of Nadab and Abihu, in the not-so-positive sense, offering strange fire. And what happens? Fire goes out from the Lord and consumes these two sons of Aaron. Also in a negative light, we read in Numbers 16, verse 35, where there is the rebellion against the authority of Moses and Aaron, which God had established. And God calls that those rebelling are to bring censers before the tabernacle, and God would choose. And what happens, but fire goes out from those censers and devours the 250 men that brought and wanted to burn incense that God did not give them authority to do. And so with good reason, the author to the Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 29, says that our God is a consuming fire. And that's what Psalm 97 refers to. Fire goes out before him and burns up his adversaries all around. We've seen examples of it quite literally, that happening in the Old Testament. And those instances show us the truth of God's victory and conquest of his enemies. Fire goes before him and destroys all who are in rebellion against him. But we also see God's judgment of all the earth. In verses 6 and 7, the heavens proclaim his righteousness and all the people see his glory. All worshippers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. As we consider the salvation of God, as you've heard me refer to in the past, the Exodus is that great type of our salvation, with God delivering his people out of bondage and slavery. And one of the things he did there is in the plagues of Egypt was he was mocking. He was bringing to nothing the gods of Egypt. He was showing them powerless, rendering them powerless. And here we see in Psalm 97 as well that the gods, the false gods, the worthless idols, merely vanity. That second phrase of verse 7, who make their boast in worthless idols. You could cut off the word idols there. It's just basically the psalmist is saying they're making their boast in vanity, in emptiness, worthlessness. That's what they're boasting in. Other psalms show the contrast with God's people, and who do we boast in but the Lord, the God of all the earth. God is bringing to nothing. He's mocking the idolaters. He's mocking the idols that they worship, but also those who worship them. And literally, all worshipers of images are put to shame. They're ashamed of one another. You could consider on that last great day, you could almost picture it when all humanity finally sees and realizes the truth. And for some, it'll be far too late. There will be an immense shame there of what they have done. Sure, mixed with anger at the God that they have rejected, but also filled with shame. And so the psalmist then calls that all the gods, all the rulers of the peoples, from the highest to the lowest, to worship God, the true God alone. These verses display the judgment of God that is to come. The judgment of God upon all the earth. As he sits in judgment, as the earth is gathered before him, he will have vindication, and his holiness will be displayed in judgment upon all of his enemies. All those who have rejected him, and all the false gods of the earth, and those who worship them. For us as people, this is cause for us and a call for us to rejoice and give thanks. Because in that, our God is being vindicated. His holiness is being clearly displayed. And the truth of God and who he is will be undeniable. And so we can rejoice and give thanks for the holiness of God displayed in his judgment. This brings us then to the final section of Psalm 97. In verses 8 to 11. We're called here, Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. O you who love the Lord, hate evil, preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Again, this section begins with Zion, God's people, the holy city, rejoicing for the judgments that God has delivered. We can rejoice because in that also God is exalted. He is most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. That most high there is actually a name of God. He is the most high over all the earth, over all gods, he is exalted. This is what Psalm 57 speaks of, that we sing as a benediction, stanza 5, and also we sing in entirety tonight. It's a call for God to be exalted over all the earth, for him to be glorified above all his creation. Now, as we continue on in this section, God's people here are all you who love the Lord, hate evil. Literally, lovers of the Lord hate evil. It's a command, you know, to hate evil. It's a command of God to despise that which is contrary to him. In my household growing up, you know, my parents are here. You weren't allowed to use the word hate. That's a common thing in a lot of households. We could say we really dislike something, but we hate was too strong of a word. It's like, well, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, but God says we can hate evil. we're allowed to hate evil. And it's when we think about our lives in this regard, how are we obeying this command? How are we following this injunction of God to hate what is evil? And the hatred there, it's not something where we go out and we start, you know, tearing down things that make a stumble in the public square that might land you in prison. That's not what God is calling us to do. It's It's our struggle and fight with the temptations that plague us. What causes us to sin? What causes our feet to stray from the narrow path? What drives a wedge between us and God is the end result. We are to hate that. We are to despise that. And we can be comforted in knowing that our God hates it as well. He despises and hates what comes between him and his people. And one of the glorious things of the last great day is that all of those barriers will finally be removed. They will finally all be done away with. And nothing for all of eternity will come between God and his bride, God and his people. There's a reason that God uses the language of a husband's jealousy for his wife concerning his jealousy for his people. He despises what comes between us. And he hates it. And he calls his people to hate it as well. And that's what one thing we can pray for. The Lord promises that when we pray according to the will of God, that he will in fact answer our prayers and give us what we desire. And is it not the will of God that we hate evil? That we hate what comes between us and our God? Let us pray that he would make us hate it. That he would make us abhor what comes between us. Verse 11 is the remarkably comforting verse in this text. It says, light is sown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. The imagery of sowing and reaping is tied to that. We have a saying, we reap what we sow. Well, with God's people, we don't reap what we sow. We don't reap the seeds of evil that we have planted in our life. Instead, we reap what God has sown. God has sown joy for us. He has sown light for us, not darkness. And as this looks towards that last great day when the harvest is reaped, that's what we have to look forward to. We have an eternal joy and light in the presence of God that he has sown for us. And that we will reap. This isn't our work. This isn't our doing. This is his doing. Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. This is God's work for you and me. And so this truly gives us reason to rejoice and give thanks for God's salvation. That's what's being described here. It's the culmination of his salvation, of his work of deliverance for his people. It will, in the end, when Christ returns, we will have this in its fullness. We know it in part here and now, but we will have it in its fullness in the time to come. That is why in verse 12 we are called to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord and give thanks as he displays his holiness in his work of salvation. So let us rejoice and give thanks for God's holiness displayed in salvation. This psalm, again, is titled in many of your Bibles as "The Lord Reigns." And those are the first three words that the psalmist uses, establishing from the outset the righteous reign and kingship of God. And this is a reason for the earth to rejoice. And in that rejoicing, we're called to rejoice because of the very holiness of God. As this psalm shows us that he will be vindicated and his holiness will be remembered forever. And it will be remembered in this psalm in two ways, through his judgment of those who oppose him and his deliverance of his people that will spend eternity with him. And so, brothers and sisters, let us, in fact, rejoice and give thanks for the remembrance of the Lord's holiness. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do marvel at your work for us. And Lord, we long for the day when you will be vindicated. It pains us, Lord, to see you mocked, to see you ridiculed. But we know that in the end, you, Lord, will be vindicated over all the earth. You will be openly acknowledged as the Most High over all the gods and all the false gods, the worthless idols that we worship here on earth will be shown to be the vanity and the worthless objects that they are. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for the idols that we pursue. And Lord, may you also help us to hate evil. As we are those who love you, Lord, by your grace, we pray that you would cause us in your grace to hate what you hate and to despise what you despise. And may you give us the strength and the grace to pursue our sanctification wholeheartedly and to remove what hangs on in our sin and wickedness. But Lord, as we look towards that last great day when you return and judge all the earth and bring your people completely to yourself, we pray that we would, even here and now, rejoice and give thanks in the fact that your holiness will be remembered for all of eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray these things. Amen.